Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music.
All my life I've been waiting in my mind in a rocking chair for my fancy to take the air. I would know my childhood. Father said I would know the place. Skin would tingle and pulse would race as they do. It's here.
Music of Maury Yeston from a production of something called Phantom, which was done in 1991. That's Anna Bergman singing I'm Home, and she is our guest today here on Crossover. Oh, it's a delight to welcome a returning guest to Crossover today, singer, chanteuse, I guess, Anna Bergman. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be back with you, Jill.
I really can't find an exact description of what you do, other than you sing beautiful songs to beautiful people all over the world. So, and you have an album out, is that right? The Souvenir.
I do.
Great. Well, the thing is, you might want to explain to the audience what you do. Your style is something of another era, I think, not a long time ago, but it's really one that I cherish. The chanteuse, and of course you sing in many languages, and your approach is very, I would say, sophisticated in terms of the repertoire that you use. So tell the audience a little bit and refresh our memories.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm really the product of an American diplomat, and what that means is that I really cherish our American songbook and our musical heritage, which is, I call, the great masters of the American songbook: George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, and Irving Berlin, and of course all of the other great, you know, Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer, you name it. And so I really love, first and foremost, to celebrate the American songbook, and I think it's our greatest export to the world, our music, and to keep it alive is important. And so that's kind of my mission.
I have to interrupt you when you say that, because
Yes. A
lot of singers talk about the American songbook, and I don't think the general public is aware of what that encompasses.
Well, when I say the American songbook, I really do mean the great masters of American music, which are the composers and, of course, the lyricists that worked with them that I just mentioned. But, I mean, this also includes Stephen Sondheim. I mean, it's not just our past writers, songwriters, but it's also some of the current writers, like Maury Yeston and Stephen Sondheim, or Adam Gettle and Jason Robert Brown. These are people currently writing for the Broadway musical stage that I think are absolutely as, you know, gifted and talented as the great masters that I just mentioned. And I have the good fortune to have worked with Stephen Sondheim and Adam Gettle and Maury Yeston, and that's a great honor. And but they're geniuses as well, I think, in terms of their songwriting abilities. And then I love, in addition to the American songbook, because I grew up in many different cultures as a diplomat's daughter, I love to weave in songs from some of the places I lived, which is Paris and Vienna and London. And also I'm very fond of the Italian repertoire as well. So that's my signature repertoire, if you will.
Yes, well, that's certainly a large one and a delightful one.
There once was Ophelia, a wild woodland sprite. It chanced that a huntsman beheld her. transfixed by this vision, he gazed more and more. Bewildered by feelings he'd never felt before. Trembling with intense desire, yet troubled by a sense of dread,
music of Franz Lehár with English lyrics by Sheldon Harnick, Velia's Song. That was followed by Musetta's Waltz, Quando Me Nuovo, music of Giacomo Puccini, performed by Anna Bergman with Alex Rybeck at the piano.
You have had operatic training. You went to Vassar, wasn't that where you studied?
That's right.
And also, who did you study with, and how did that whole operatic thing evolve? Because what you've really done is you've done what a lot of singers did, I think, in, I would say, the 30s and 40s in the classical genre, but also doing operetta and appearing in movies. That's what a lot of these classical artists did. They don't do it now so much, but I think that's kind of what you're doing. That's still the trend of what you're doing.
I really love, because I'm classically trained and I began my career in opera, you had asked how that came about. I was actually a drama major at Vassar College, but I was given a scholarship to study voice, and then the music department decided, even though I got my degree in drama, that they felt strongly that I should go on to get to pursue a career in opera. And I had no intention of that, actually, but they gave me a wonderful fellowship. So I went on to the Aspen Music School, and then I started my career in opera. But I kind of went through different phases of loving different genres, and I think that's why I ended up as a concert artist, because while I love opera, I also love musical theater. I loved doing straight theater. I loved doing commercials. I'm just kind of an eclectic person. So with lots of different tastes and different styles of performance. So that's why I think I ended up in cabaret and concert, because you can sing whatever you want. Every single performance that I do is totally different from the next one. So it allows me to really explore lots of different material, which is my passion.
And also keeps you very fresh, I think. Because you're using different personalities, I think, when you're singing different music. Isn't that true?
Yes. I've just recently realized that what I love most about the more classical, or how we refer to it, is legit music. And I'm just coming to really realize that I'm going to start going more in that direction, because I've been doing symphony orchestras lately. I really love the music that allows for soaring melodies, and I think that's why I was drawn to opera, or why the music department at Vassar encouraged me to go into operas, because that, I think my voice lends itself to that kind of music, whereas musical theater and cabaret tend to be more about words.
Mm-hmm.
Opera and more legitimate musical theater and operetta tend to be more about melody.
Well, actually, though, the operetta is classical, and I think some of the Broadway shows, even something like Oklahoma or Carousel, was very classically oriented.
Exactly.
Even though it was, yes. Thank you. The roads that lead to the sea watched over our passage. The flowers shed their petals, and we could hear the echo of our laughter under the trees. Alas, the days of our happiness have taken flight. I wish in my heart that I could put this memory to rest, the memory of that road where, trembling and bewildered, I felt your hand on mine. Paths of our first love, I search for you always. Paths of despair, paths of memory, paths of that first day, divine paths of love. Music of Francis Poulenc, words of Jean Anouilh, Les Chemins de l'Amour, The Paths of Love, performed by Anna Bergman, our guest today.
You do a lot of fundraisers. You do private events as well. You're quite busy throughout the year, all over our country and in Europe as well. But what is the demand for this? I, this is of a certain era, the kind of thing that you do. One associates it not with the present as much as, I guess, it's 20th century, but it was very, very popular probably a little bit, some time ago, and not many people do this now.
Right. So, on Broadway, we see revivals. The King and I is coming back, and, in recent seasons, we've had South Pacific and, many of the great American musicals of the past. And the reason they're revived is because they're such brilliant works of art. They're such brilliant melodies and great lyrics, poetic lyrics, and wonderful books of the musicals. So, I think that's why I say it's my mission to keep this music alive, because we don't hear it, except for a few Broadway revivals, we really don't hear it on the radio, this music, except for Jill Pasternak's station, thank
that's
goodness,
right. Yeah, thank you.
And a few others like, Mr. Schwartz, Jonathan Schwartz.
Yeah.
And of course, on television, you really don't see these musicals and hear this music unless it's a public television station that's either doing a concert of mine, which has been a great pleasure for me to do my own concert. And I've done centennial tributes on public television, for example, Johnny Mercer. So thank goodness for public television and radio stations like yours that do broadcast this great music of ours.
Well, thank you for that.
But that's why I enjoy singing it all over the world, because
yeah.
I want people to remember it and to cherish it.
They do cherish it, I think. When they hear the first strains of some of those songs, they say, oh, I'm sure you get that when you, in a live performance, hear a kind of a deep breath that is taken, and,
yes.
Know the people say, I love that one. I'm so glad she's singing it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. So
now, that's one of my greatest joys.
Now tell us about the repertoire. This lovely album that you have, which is Souvenir, is that that's a relatively, it's been out for a while, is that right?
Yeah What I like is that it includes all the Broadway music and the Viennese operetta and the French chanson and the Italian opera, these are all my sort of passion.
Of course, that's your signature.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what got to me when I discovered you, and I discovered you. So certainly for WRTI,
yes.
I discovered you.
I sing to you this serenade of love. Your gentle charms I worship in its sweet refrain. Your eyes are bright like stars that shine above. Your tears are warm like summer rain. And when you smile at me, I know that we could be together, making dreams come true. To me, you're everything. So from the heart, I sing.
Anna Bergman with Paul Greenwood, music director and pianist, with Non ti scordar di me and Send in the Clowns. recorded live in concert.
Well, I must say this. Your style, and when I look at your schedule of performances, your style appeals to a generation who is gradually dying off. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the kind of music. It's not that it's cabaret, but it's, as you say, the kind of musical comedy. It's the Franz Lehár, that genre. And then, of course, Richard Rodgers, the evolution of the Broadway musical carousel, the seriousness of it, the whole essence of how musical comedy has evolved. And yet you have some of the songs of Edith Piaf. I mean, you sing some of her wonderful standards.
Yeah.
And it's really music of another generation, which you are carrying through to the present. And it's exciting to hear this music being done because you don't really hear much of it. Maybe you'll hear a revival. Something like that.
Right.
But they make an issue out of it. Yours is just part of what you do. And I think that is what delights the audiences. And it certainly was what delighted our audiences that have heard you on our show in the two previous times, because I still get calls, when is Anna Bergman coming back? So
that's so nice to hear.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and there you stood, holding you again.
Anna Bergman with a medley of two tunes, one by Carole King, So Far Away, and the other by Rodgers and Hart, You're Nearer, Alex Rybak at the piano.
Would you say in terms of audience appeal, is there an age barrier on any level? I mean, people know, of course, you know, the operatic things. Or even or Strauss, but I'm just wondering about, you know, like Sous le ciel de Paris, or, you know, What Good Would the Moon Be, or, you know, the Noel Coward medley. I would just wondered about that. That's still very, very appealing, isn't it, to most of the audiences that you sing to?
Well, it is. I mean, of course it appeals to the people that, you know, grew up during the time when those songs were the popular songs on the radio. And so obviously when I sing, people who are older say, oh, this is my music, or younger people say, oh, I grew up listening to this music because my parents played this music all the time. We had all these Broadway recordings and opera. You know, my parents listened to the opera that came in every Saturday on, you know, the Texaco sponsored radio.
Sure, we carry it still here at WRTI on Saturdays, the Met.
Yeah. Well, it's so fantastic. And I think the HD performances that the Met are doing now are really,
wonderful.
In every city across the world, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really popularizing, I think, opera and classical music, which is wonderful. But, you know, it's interesting. I find, well, I do programs where I sing in elementary and high schools here in New York.
Really?
Which is wonderful because, it's called the American Songbook Project, and they hire Broadway and cabaret artists to go into schools, and we sing these songs, and we talk about Richard Rodgers and George Gershwin and Cole Porter, because, you know, none of these children have any idea who this is. All they know is Jay-Z and Beyonce and, you know, the rap artists and Stevie Wonder, maybe they'll know.
Paul
McCartney.
Yeah, what kind of a response do you get? I mean, you know,
love it. They just love it. And what's interesting to me also is that when I sing in London, I get a much, much greater range of ages that come to my shows. Mm. And the reason is that in London, for your listeners that go to London theater and cabaret in London, the tickets are so affordable. They're like 20 pounds, which is something like $17.
Yes,
that's the
yes.
cover charge.
Oh, my.
Whereas in New York, it's, you know, it can be $100.
Of course, of
when
course.
I play at major venues like Feinstein's or Carnegie Hall or Lincoln
yes,
Center, I mean, the tickets are very expensive when I sing in the venues in New York. So that's one of the reasons a lot of young people and students go to cabaret and theater. And I think our Broadway producer should listen up. Because,
yes.
I mean, we do have rush tickets for students, but I think it's really important that we make it affordable for young people to go.
Well, you think you're speaking, I think, like one would speak about classical repertoire, you know, make it available, make it recognizable, you
yes.
know, make it affordable and make it happen.
Yes.
And it isn't just long
right.
hair, you know, long hair stuff or conservatory things. I mean, people love music, all kinds of music.
Yes.
And you have a very special brand of music here because it is something I think it brings back certain eras, you know, without going too far back. And I think it's also very sophisticated. And I use that word as a complimentary word because it is worldly. And
you
have the style. And that, again, the chanteuse, what you do is also relatively rare these days. We just heard Anna Bergman, soprano, accompanied by Alex Rybeck on the piano, performing a medley of songs by the late Noel Coward. Someday I'll Find You, A Room with a View, Mad About the Boy, Sail Away, If Love Were All, and finally, I'll See You Again. I applaud you, Anna, and I wish you the very
Thank
best
you.
Of luck.
Thank
and
you.
A joy speaking with you. Now, do you have another album coming out soon, or is this one, this souvenir, the
well,
one
Well, I really
current?
Hope so. I mean, that's certainly something that I'm really looking to do, and I will certainly let you know. But I've done so many different wonderful shows, including songbook shows like An Evening of Richard Rogers and mm-hmm. and my Viennese show, which I premiered for Carnegie Hall's Vienna City of Dreams in March. So I would love to record, you know, some of the shows that I've done. So I'll keep you posted.
Please do. And it's a delight. I'm so happy to hear that things are going well. And we need this kind of music.
Thank you. I think we do, too. It's a great gift to the world.
Yes. And thanks again. It was great speaking with you and good luck.
Thank you so much, Jill. And the best to you and all of your music-loving audience.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I said the man for me must have a castle. A man of means he'd be, a man of fame. And then I met a man who hadn't any. Without a penny to his name, I had to go.
Music and lyrics from the pen of Stephen Sondheim, a show called Saturday Night,
that he wrote in 1955. We've been speaking with Anna Bergman, and we close our visit with her with a duet sung with Ron Raines from The Most Happy Fella, music of Frank Lesser, a show that was so successful in 1956. My heart is so full of you.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.